Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about The Black Scorpion.
1957.
It's funny because it came out, I think, the year before The Blob.
Uh-huh.
And it feels like this movie feels kind of like cut-and-paste monster movie. Like, at least the first, like, half hour. And so I could see how, like, The Blob, like, kind of became popular. That makes sense?
Just because from the era that it came out in?
Or... Yeah, I feel like a lot of these movies, like this movie, The Monster That Challenged the World, them, kind of all start off similar. Like the first half hour of this movie is like, something destroyed this blank, and somebody is scared to death, and we don't know what it is, and then you see them, and then it gets into the monster stuff. Whereas The Blob kind
of
like...
Yeah, I think it's part of it's like fears surrounding nuclear power and all that kind of stuff. And so that's what this is definitely that American giant monster era thing there. I've been looking at this giant scorpion poster artwork and stuff for so long. The faces isn't as ridiculous as it seemed like it was going to be in the poster.
No, it was actually, the poster looks goofier than...
Yeah. Although they do cut to him drooling, like, a lot.
Yeah, our last couple movies didn't have any white goo, and this kind of, like, filled the quota. it was crazy, like the amount of white goo in this movie. It's just like they just douse that thing.
He sits there and drools.
Yeah, it was kind of great. Like I liked the Black Scorpion. I thought he looked cool.
I like the movie.
Yeah, I was surprised. So right off the bat, we get like the cool. Like I thought the credits were kind of cool. How they went from white letters on a black background to black letters on a white background. It had a kind of cool, interesting look. And then I noticed the credit for Willis O'Brien.
I know.
And then as soon as I saw that, I got very excited.
Yeah. I was, yeah. His work made this movie way better than I had expected it was going to be.
Yeah. I didn't know, like, so in doing kind of like looking for poster art to post on the Instagram page for this episode. The only stuff I saw, I saw pictures of the face, and then I saw, pictures of the sort of weird comp shots with like the see-through scorpion going through the city and stuff.
Oh, right.
So going into it, I'm like, oh, it's going to kind of just be a garbage, like B movie. But as soon as I saw his name, I'm like, oh, there's something's up. Like, it's got to be more than just a superimposed scorpion. It's funny because, like I said, the movie takes about a half hour of mystery. We don't see the scorpion until, I think, like 32 minutes in. And so I'm like, oh, you know, it's going to be drawn out for a while, and we'll get the scorpion attacking something in, like, the last, I don't know, maybe like 15 minutes or half hour. But, man, as soon as that scorpion shows up, like, that's like the tip of the iceberg. And I did not, the title is deceiving.
Yeah.
It's not one scorpion, and then it's not even just scorpions. It threw me for a loop, and it was like, I didn't see any of that coming. I just assumed it was going to be these people versus a scorpion.
Right.
And, I was pleasantly surprised by it. It's definitely top tier. Like it's better than like most of these horror movies.
Yeah, this is definitely a way to come into movie. This is the preferred way to come into movie where it's like the expectations were low and it ends up like, you know, just. You know, and delivering so well,
but just seeing the name Willis O'Brien like completely changed my attitude going into it.
Yeah,
like I'm like, okay, this is just a movie to tick off the list, and you know, it's kind of Halloween time, and I'm like, okay, cool, let's have a, you know, let's, it's a good B movie, but just seeing his name, I'm like, oh shit, there might be some real cool stuff in this. And I was, yeah, it was way more than I expected. It's great. I liked it. How many times during the course of the movie did you go to IMDb to check if they were whitewashing?
You mean in the casting?
Yeah. I kept looking, because I feel like what we've been dealing with on this show is a lot of actors portraying ethnicities that they're not.
Yeah.
And this whole thing takes place in Mexico. And right. as soon as it was like takes place in Mexico, I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. And I was surprised.
Well, watching the opening credits, and I was like, oh, there's actually a lot of Latin names in this cast.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't paying attention. I think I was
like, that's interesting. It doesn't, obviously, it's 1957. There's problematic portrayals.
Yeah.
We
watched, what was it, The Monster That Challenges the World, where they went to that Mexican restaurant, or the Baja Mexican restaurant. Yeah. And it's like just yikes all over the place. And this
I went and I was like trying to look up just to check if the kid was the same kid.
Like throughout the movie?
No, the kid from The Monster That Challenges the World. I was like, wait, who played Juanito here? Like, I was just kind of like wanting to see, you know, just a kid that, like, you know, he's our go-to little lamb boy.
Yeah. I think really Mara Cordray is her name.
Yeah.
I think she is. I don't know if she's portraying a Mexican woman or not. I think her name is, but I think at the beginning she sort of has an accent.
Right.
But that kind of just goes away. But I was looking her up, and we've seen her before.
Yeah.
She played Sally Caldwell in The Giant Claw.
Right.
And I'm like, why do I recognize all these same pictures? I was like, oh yeah, I already looked her up. Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by the cast. I think one of my favorite characters, and I looked on IMDb, I couldn't find the actor, was the doctor in the laboratory. That dude was awesome. I love that dude. What do you call a coffee break? That guy?
Oh boy.
Was he not? Was he a white guy doing a thing?
I don't know, but he was definitely doing a thing.
Yeah.
You know, whether they got, you know, a brown guy to do a thing, or it's a white guy doing the thing with the coffee break, where he's like, fill one test tube with this and the other one with tequila. Man, that one was the most blatant one of them all.
I just liked him because he was the most, like, everyone was kind of bland in the movie.
Yeah, he was definitely a character.
Like, yeah, he was like a character, and I liked it. I think I looked him up, and
but,
I mistook him for someone else and thought he was, so I don't know.
He was the most Speedy Gonzalez of everybody.
I guess so. He was fun.
This is very free. This movie reminded me a lot of Them. It's all the way down to the fact that they used Them sounds. I was like, maybe it's Big Ants.
Yeah, they have
I'm so used to that sound being for Them. And it was kind of like, it was like the ant noise with maybe a little bit of lion roar mixed in.
Yeah, they definitely had a roar. And then, yeah, the rest of that sort of like cicada, like chirping, like high frequency thing. Yeah, I didn't even think about it. Is it like the exact same thing from Them?
That is the Them sound.
What is that?
Clink, clink, clink.
Why
do they make it?
Well, why? Why is it a thing in the 50s to make that the sound of giant insects? Like, it's so bizarre to me. Because I was listening to it, I'm like, oh, this is so 50s. But then to say, like, it's, you know, the same as Them, it's really weird.
I don't know. It's like, it's funny. It's like when there's this, when like we were going through like the haunted mazes and stuff, there, and you go through, and then when they do a room that's like the spider room, and it's all webby, everyone kind of has the same sound effect. I don't know what it would be, but it's like this. You get this like kind of like this sound, and you go, oh that's spiders, that the spiders moving around sound, and stuff. Like I was like, we're like, because like I couldn't, we're working on I'm working on this haunted house in Hawaii, and I was like going, oh we have a spider room, and I don't know where that sound is. I don't know how to Google, how do I find that sound? So I was like, I pulled this thing on this old out of this old There's this old like Sounds of Terror record I had as a kid that I found someone had like ripped it online, because I remember there was this like the Incredible Giant Crab. Did you ever hear this as a kid?
No.
It's like this clackety clackety kind of like that's the crab moving, and then you hear like a woman screaming, and then there's like these crunching noises.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I'm gonna totally use that in the haunt.
Oh, that sounds
So
cool.
it's gonna be like, yeah, so that's gonna be our spider sound. But yeah, I don't know. Is this the same studio? I was like, is it just like they're just going to their sound bank of sound effects?
Was them Warner Brothers?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think. It may have been. The only thing I can remember from them is the blue and red font. But this is a Warner Brothers movie, so I'm assuming them maybe was a Born Brother. I can look it up. Let me look it up
It
real
is a
quick.
Warner Brothers movie.
So they probably borrowed
Just
from
in
the
3 years
same
before.
library.
Yeah, they. Yeah.
Cool. I don't know about the sound of the little scorpion, the squeaking.
Oh, right.
I guess that's supposed to be the tiny version of that
I
high-pitched
guess.
sound.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess. Hey, at this part of the beginning, when they come upon, it's kind of like, again, like in them, what the first thing they do is they come upon this house that something happened, you know. It's like then they're like they're like investigating it, and then they have their gun out, and he sits there, and there's the rattling sound, and they're expecting a snake, but then like I kind of felt that it was going to be a baby, and then they pull the thing aside, and there's a baby there, and the guy's like referring to the baby, but he's still pointing his gun at it. He's like pointing at the kid with his gun. He's like, that rattlesnake, that's the worst kind of them all. As he's but he's pointing him, I'm like, what, you're it's a baby. Put your gun away at this point.
And then they just pick up the baby and take the baby, not even investigating to see if there's more people around to take care of the
Well, they
baby.
Yeah, there were, I don't think there. I think we understood that there's no one in the house, because also they found that dead cop there. Yeah, and then you get that the guy the guy has that line that he talks about feeding his kid beans and tortillas because it seems to keep them quiet, or it's like because Mexican babies don't make a lot of fuss and noise. Yeah, there's a lot of like just it's like when they come into that town with that baby, then there's the guy driving. He speaks Spanish, that we know from his character, but it's the white guy talking to this small village of Mexican people, and it's just kind of like, what?
Yeah, when I heard that guy speaking Spanish, I looked him up on IMDb. And he checks out. It was weird because I couldn't, like, with the black and white, I was like, I just don't know. I have to know if I need to hate this or not.
Yeah, I think they used the no, I think they definitely used a lot of Latin people in it. There's definitely for sure. Yeah, in fact, there's like two guys. I was like, are those two guys related? Because they looked it almost looked like the same guy twice. They're standing next to each other. They look so similar to each other.
Oh no!
It's like that one guy. It's like when they go and they're like the officials of Mexico City. Mm-hmm. There's the one guy in the military uniform and the other guy's like in the suit, but they don't kind of like. We don't really find out who they are specifically as far mm-hmm. as like in the Mexican government.
Yeah.
They're just Mexican government people. Yeah, I just kind of wrote problematic as a note.
Yeah, I kept referring to IMDb like almost literally any time like a speaking role happened. There was a new speaking role. I'm like, okay, let me go check.
or they go to the town. The lady who's talking about that devil that you can't get rid of by lighting candles. When the woman who ends up taking the baby because I guess the kid's parents were killed, I guess. Yeah.
And they suspect that it was a giant bull creature. Like, I kind of want to see that now.
Oh, the baby scorpion noise. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
I just realized I had a note about it. It sounds like when they make a bat when they like in a vampire movie, and it's like a bat noise. It's that kind of like bat sound.
It was bizarre. It really squeaked with every little move.
There was a lot of weird noises. There's also like they kept putting all this noises of the dog, like stressed kind of like noises of a dog. Like,
oh, and the cows.
Like, it's like when they're in there and like just the dog sitting there and it's just like this calm dog panting and they're putting all these dog noises in the soundtrack, but the dog's not moving his mouth or doing anything to make it sound like he made any of those noises. Uh-huh. But Poncho. They just keep going, hey, what's going on, Poncho? Come on, Poncho. Calm down, Poncho.
Yeah, they did that while they were running into the Jeep when they were leaving Poncho's house.
Yeah.
And you just hear the cow sounds. And then there's a line, what's wrong with the cows? And it's like, oh, it's clearly like 80-yard and thought up later because, oh, yeah, we got to set up the fact that the scorpions are coming out to eat the cows.
Mm-hmm.
And then the meat wagon later, like it was like a weird, just like audio, like they just dumped in like the same cow sound and looped it a bunch of times to sound like a bunch of cows. But yeah, that wasn't great. Yeah, we get the scorpion at the 32 minute mark and I'm like, oh, cool. And then, I looked at the time and then I was like, oh, we still have like an hour left.
Yeah.
So then, we're going to get a lot of this scorpion.
Yeah, this is the moment when it gets good because like, I was like, all right, the faces aren't so weird.
Yeah.
And then I was like, stop motion, fantastic. And then I was like, Willis O'Brien.
Yeah, when you see the scorpion come out from under the bridge.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's good stuff because you can
tell. The telephone guy.
Yeah,
telephone
that dude.
Pole guy.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that dude's so just good. Kinda stuck
and,
up
and
there.
And I was like, that would have been... like I go, just scorpion stuff would have been satisfying.
And I thought as soon as he got the telephone guy, he gets the telephone guy off the pole and then stabs him. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then I thought it was going to be like nothing for like maybe the next, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. Like they're going to try to figure out what happened to the telephone man. But they pretty much catch on to the fact that it's a giant scorpion.
Right.
And, but yeah, the scorpion like picks up the truck and stuff. Like, that's the thing that surprised me is I just assume a scorpion was going to be going around like clawing people, but when it like started picking up trucks and stuff, I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. I haven't seen that before. And then the dudes come out of the house and they start like, they have like the sombreros on and they all have like pistols and like rifles and stuff. And they're just like shooting at this scorpion, which is, I kind of like that. We're so used to like jets and tanks and stuff fighting these giant creatures, but it's kind of cool just to see guys just up against a giant monster, which I guess happened in them. But there's something about this that I enjoyed a lot where with those guys just kind of trying to defend the house with just like pistols. And then there's like a weird line in there that says that they're so far out from civilization that they like have to take care of it themselves, which is like, I guess their version of saying, oh, we're out of range for our cell phones like nowadays.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, with the well, the same thing. Yeah, it's like how the phone line was down,
Yeah.
and they're like, "Oh, I guess the phone line got fixed." Yeah, there's a pretty good like small like you see a house kind of get destroyed from the inside of the house,
Oh, yeah, that was cool with the
and
priests
there are
that
like
they're all.
people behind it,
Yeah.
you know. So it was a pretty cool little set scene.
Yeah, because at first I thought it was like maybe a model or something, the way it was shaking, and then it like falls, and then you see the people behind. I'm assuming it was just all done in camera, but if not, it was a good effect either way. We've gotten a couple of these in the last few episodes, but we get some good people panic scenes.
Yeah.
Like the old lady getting trampled and stuff, and the guy helping
Yeah.
her.
Yeah.
There's like a shot of like a lady coming out of a building and like handing a baby off to someone else.
There's about three kids that get handed over walls.
Yeah, it's I there's something I guess there's something about those kind of shots that make the panic scenes more realistic. They don't really do that in Godzilla movies. They just kind of everyone's just running in the street, you know, kind of towards the same way. Probably because they're used to the monster attacks. But I like the sort of like realistic, like people would get trampled, people would, you know, save children. But
You
they're.
know, the other thing I feel like, because they give us such great stop motion segments of the scorpion doing stuff, that you're okay with the superimposed shadow scorpion
The like see-through one.
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I'm fine with it. Like they just kind of like throw a, they you know just find a way to just put a scorpion over the film, you know, and because you get the other stuff so much,
Yeah,
and
it's
you get the guy in the claw, and you get the close-up of the face. They used everything.
Yeah, and I feel like they didn't even need to do those shots. The comp shots, because there was enough going on in the movie already,
Yeah.
but I guess they just wanted a bigger scope or something. It was fine. It was yeah, it didn't bother me too much. So this dude Dr. Velasco, I asked some questions about him. So after this, after the scorpion takes out this village,
Yeah.
this dude shows up, Dr. Velasco, and he has all the answers already,
Yeah.
and starts telling him everything why everything is happening. It's like, why weren't you here already? And then he says, if there, he comes up with a plan, and he says, if the plan doesn't work, that they'll be in trouble, as if he's not going to be around for this plan. So here's this plan. If it doesn't work, you guys will be in trouble. He's a really strange character and a little ambiguous, and almost felt like kind of like he was part of some sort of a monarch organization. Like the especially towards the end where they talk, the dudes, the geologists that come,
Yeah.
and it's like they're not telling him what's going on. They're keeping things secret. It's like, this is kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely could have been an opportunity to kind of like make him something like that. And he gives a bit of that vibe, but yeah, I don't
Yeah, he
think
just kind of
there
shows
really
up
is
in his suit.
anything.
He just shows up in a suit with his hands in his pocket, and he just kind of like starts dispensing all this information, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, he's definitely, yeah, there's something that there's stuff that he would be like, I was like, oh, wow, isn't that convenient?
Yeah.
You know, it's like when they decide to cave in, well, I mean, I'm jumping ahead, but when he said cave in the mountain, he's also being like, no, that'll do it because, you know, this is the only way they could have gone out. And like at first he's saying, you know, the there or like, oh, he knows like, oh, they're only active at night and all that kind of business.
Yeah. And then he kind of has the Hollow Earth theory, or talks about like the Hollow Earth theory from
Oh.
Kong Skull Island and Godzilla King of the Monsters, how there's like a
The
whole
lakes, the underworld. Yeah.
series of caves and tunnels under the earth. So they track down essentially a scorpion hole.
Yeah.
And they go to the scorpion hole.
This is the best part.
And this is where I'm like, I was like, okay, we got like an hour left in this movie or something like that. And I'm like, this is cool. I don't know where they're going to go from here. Cause we already saw the scorpion take out a whole like town and kill a bunch of people and stuff. And so they end up going down into this hole and, it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, first of all, they have the little, I don't know, it's like this little
basket
thing on, yeah, a little basket on a crane, their little elevator, and they kind of get lowered down, and it's beautiful. And Juanito sneaks down there too, the scamp.
Yeah.
He's like, I mean, he came down to help, and he just causes problems by putting himself in danger. But they go down. About halfway down, they see a scorpion.
Correct.
And rather than deal with the scorpion or be like, okay, we got to take care of this before we continue, they decide to just take some pictures of it.
Because by this point,
for research purposes.
By this point, as far as we know, there's one scorpion. We don't think there's multiple scorpions. So when you're getting lowered into the hole and you see a scorpion, you'd be like, oh, there it is.
We got it.
There it is. Yeah.
Boom. Got him.
But no, they keep on going.
And I'd be concerned about passing the scorpion.
Yeah, because it can like clip your line.
Now he knows you're there.
Yeah.
But they still take the basket to the bottom. I mean, it feels like a stupid thing to do, but we're glad they did because then, you know,
they end up in like the lost world.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah, yeah.
And it's awesome. I'm like, oh shit. So as soon as they end up there, it's like one of those big, like, it's like a big, like, matte painting sort of cave thing. And I'm like, oh, okay. So this seems like kind of a cool place that would have more than just scorpions.
There's that bat that flies by.
Yeah.
That slow motion flying bat. Which the story that I saw said something like that Willis O'Brien basically went an extra day into production just to put that bat in.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it was just like, it's like an extra thing, but he's like, you know, yeah, we're going to put a bat in.
Yeah. It's almost like he took on this movie because he wanted to do the spider pit that he never got to do for Kong.
Well, that's what the two creatures in it were spider pit creatures that were never used.
Oh, so like the worm with the tentacles?
Yeah, and the spider.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that makes sense.
The word is that those were spider pit guys.
That's cool. So, yeah, as soon as they showed up down there, I'm like, oh, are we going to spend the rest of the movie in here? Because that's awesome. It's like King Kong. Like King Kong.
It felt like King Kong. It totally felt like King Kong. You're chasing.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just waiting. You're waiting to get to Skull Island. And once you do, it's nonstop. And this is like the same thing. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize we're trying to get to this cave, but now we're here. This is great. Like, let's do this. It doesn't last as long as I would have liked, but we get this cool stuff in there. We get
it's still
see.
Pretty satisfying.
Yeah.
The scorpion fighting that worm.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Yeah. The worm is really funny. It moves like a caterpillar or like an inchworm that bunch and spread. But then they fight, and it's a pretty good fight.
Yeah, I like when the worm like rears up on its back with its claws up and then lunges towards the scorpion. That worm was cool looking. It kind of was like a worm with like armadillo sort of armor on the back.
Yeah, it was definitely like that, you know, because of King Kong, they had so many weird creatures. Like there's that one two-legged lizardy thing that's in the pit.
Yeah, that stuff. Like climbs up.
Yeah, so the fact it's like just like they just kind of like made things that like this doesn't necessarily exist in nature, but we're gonna make it a thing.
Yeah, because the scorpions pretty much look like scorpions, except for like the lips and the mandibles. I don't know if scorpions have mandibles like that. But
yeah,
yeah,
actually, I
even
actually
the
Googled scorpion faces just to kind of see by comparison.
and even the spider that chased Juanito had four legs, and then like the
He
two
had
claws in the front.
pincers. Yeah, he had like pincers in the front, and it was interesting because like and he had this. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, it
I don't
wasn't
know.
necessarily a
I didn't count the
spider.
legs, but yeah, right.
Yeah, I think it might have
But
been
yeah.
six legs and then the two pinchers, or four legs and the pinchers, but it wasn't necessarily a spider technically, but it was like kind of a
Right.
weird amalgam of,
Another.
yeah. And I like the ending of the fight where the scorpion defeats the worm and like rips off its thing, and you like see the guts. It reminded me, it was like the
Oh,
T-Rex fight.
yeah. He cuts a piece out of him. Yeah.
Yeah, it reminded me of the T-Rex fight where it was like tumbling and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So good. I would like to see more of that. More of the
It
cave
looks like the
stuff.
spider is six legs and the two pincers.
Okay.
So
So it's a
it works out
spider.
to eight.
Yeah. But I like that it was like a little ball of hair. Like it's and it was
Yeah.
it was it would scale down to like Juanito size. Like it was like, oh, something that I can actually get. And it chased him out. But I liked him coming out of the was it that one that came out of the ground? It had
Yeah,
like a little
so
nest.
it's like a trapdoor spider.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had this little rock and it's wiggling this rock and naturally Juanito is going to what? Just lift the rock out? Does he not see what's going on in the area?
Nope. Nope.
He's just the kid's a problem.
He needs to feel the room a
I'm
little bit
like, where
better.
is this kid going?
He's helping, I guess.
And then they tell, hey, Juanito, go tuck back in the cave because we're going to be shooting right at in your
Yeah.
direction.
Yeah. He does it though. So there's the scene where, okay, so they're trying to get out of the hole, the cave hole, and a scorpion is like trying to pull down the crane that's lowering the basket. Like, all that was really cool too.
Yeah. Yeah, he kills the elevator.
Yeah, he kills the elevator and then they have to go up just on the rope or on the wire.
The cable, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of cool too. I like that Velasco like didn't have seemed like he was concerned about any of this stuff going on. Like, he had no reaction. He just stood there, just staring at everything unfolding. Like he'd seen this before.
Yeah. It was definitely like this thing. I was going, but there's this thing that kind of makes there's like a basically a false wrap up, where you think it's like, oh, that seems that conveniently gets all wrapped up when they start to. By the way, they have an active volcano, and they're creating an explosion like right next to the volcano.
Yeah.
There's something about that doesn't feel like a wise idea.
Yeah.
Because who knows what else is going on under the ground where the volcano, like,
It's already
is
established that like the scorpions were like kind of awakened by the volcano.
yeah.
Like, they're inside that sort of amber rock lava stuff. And when they cracked it open, the little one was still alive. So you don't want to make it worse
Right.
if this is where they came
Yeah,
from.
you don't want to open another hole for lava to seep out through.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds safe. And then, but then, I go, wait, but there's still 24 minutes left.
Yeah.
But the next thing we see is like romantic dinners between
Yeah.
them, and it's like, oh man, this is gonna be 24 minutes of like the romance now, I hope.
That forced relationship.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, and it's so it's yeah it's too easy. It's so easy that they're like they can't wait to be with each other, and
Yeah.
the two dudes are they keep smiling and like ha, look at those two, and they're like, oh, hey, we're gonna send you a plane. All right, is there room for three? And they're like, yeah, you can bring her too. And I was like, is there room for four? Because we know Juanita's gonna sneak on that plan because he wants to help. And then they get there, and this woman was brought along to just have dinners with the guy, and yeah. You know what, just for dates, because as soon as they get there, they're like, okay, you two got to come with me, and the driver will take you wherever you want to go, you know.
Yeah,
it's like we have plenty of shops for you to go to. That's that kind of thing. And then it's like, and they also, there's a lot of fancy dressing. Lots of dressing up in this movie, like more than you think there need to be.
Yeah.
Like, I think she has two outfits from when they started having drinks to when they went to dinner later. And the guy's in a tuxedo at dinner.
Yeah. I guess he brought that along with him. I mean, yeah, the goal is to stop the Black Scorpion.
Where's the luggage that all these suits are in? Yeah, or like when she says, like, you'll want... Or from the very beginning, after they save her and they bring her home, and she gets back to her place at the start, and then she's like, "You guys are probably going to want to shower, so we'll send you to your rooms." And then cut to they're in ties for dinner at that place.
Yeah, that happens kind of earlier too, where they're like, "Oh, we." Like they were running out of daylight or something, or we're good until, you know, the nighttime's coming soon, but they just like kind of just go do stuff. Like, you know, at night they're coming out.
Yeah.
Why are you at dinner? This is when you should be doing stuff. This is where the scorpion comes out and, gets on the train tracks.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's obviously a, like, miniature train and stuff.
In fact, I think in one of like the like trivia or goofs, I think that I saw when I was looking at the movie on IMDb, said that there's actually on one of the trains you can actually make out that it says Lionel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It still kind of worked for me.
Looks good. I'm happy with it.
Because there's a giant scorpion attacking it. And then they intercut, like, when the train derails, they kind of intercut a cabin, train cabin full of people, and they all kind of, like, fall to one side, like, the same way that the miniature train is going.
Right.
But yeah, I liked all that. And then with the scorpions, like, picking it up and stuff.
Yeah, and train derailment is just classic, giant monster antics.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed, I really liked the train attack. And then we get the giant scorpion, who's a little hard to tell when you're looking at the giant one as opposed to a regular one.
Right.
Unless they're like in the close-ups. Same shot. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, we kind of just get down to the one scorpion in the, what is it, a stadium?
Yeah.
Yeah. They take
the black one. Because he's the biggest one. Yeah, that's another little piece of convenience. Like, luckily, he killed all the other scorpions.
Yeah.
So we don't have to deal with...
Dude, this attack is hilarious because they find out that you can shoot him in there's like a light spot underneath the neck. And so when they go to attack, you got to hit the light spot. And they came up with this weapon... Which is like a harpoon that's electrified, and the general is like waiting. You're waiting for him to shoot this exposed spot under the neck, and he finally shoots it and totally misses. And I'm like, oh my god, dude! Like, I was so mad at him.
He had one job.
Yeah. So he reels it back in, and then picks up the harpoon, which is still electrified. And he dies?
Yeah.
What? Where is the electricity coming from?
Oh, on harpoon. I guess that one. Wire he was reeling in.
I don't know.
Yeah, but you're right, because they shoot it, and then they flick the switch on it.
Yeah.
And they're like, "You missed." Yeah. But yeah. Yeah. I don't. Is it the wire he was reeling in?
I don't know. I don't know, but it was.
And what that was, that wire was insulated.
I don't know, but it definitely, I did not see that coming, and it was kind of funny to me that
Yeah. His
the
death is
army
pretty
guys
goofy.
decided not to turn the switch, throw the switch off while he was reeling it in. But yeah, his death, he just kind of went, ooh,
Yeah.
and then they yell, turn the switch off, and he just kind of falls out of frame, like never to be seen again. It was a silly death, but I enjoyed it. I mean, that whole sequence was great. Because they just threw everything at the Black Scorpion, tanks and helicopters and jeeps, and they didn't seem to be in any sort of formation. They just were kind of just going everywhere.
Yeah.
They're just like, we're gonna just get attack him from wherever we can, and like the tanks were shooting it from up close, but it would miss, it would like explode in the sky and stuff. And they were just kind of all over. And then I think there's a couple of shots that they reused of the Scorpion taking out the helicopter and the tank.
Yeah.
And but it was still cool watching the
It was
Scorpion take
cool.
out the
Yeah. I was
helicopter.
like, I like, toy tanks getting destroyed. And like the helicopter kept coming down and he kept reaching for it, and I was like, oh, and he kept missing it. So it was great. And once all the tanks were destroyed, I was like, well, the helicopter's all that's left. So, it's so great. They just kind of really went for it.
Yeah.
Everything
Oh,
destroyed.
I forgot about the part in the train scene where the Scorpion pulls out that person's body and the dude's like screaming and the Scorpion's like
Oh,
holding it up. It's like
yeah.
holding it up, over the night sky, and then the other one's trying to grab it from him.
Yeah.
That was like weirdly like kind of realistic. I don't know. I mean, it's clearly a stop motion puppet dude, but there's something about it where it was like just seeing the Scorpions glorify their trophy. It was like, oh, that's really off-putting. Just it was eerie. It was eerie of just him holding it up. Like I got the guy, and then the rest of them going after it. That was kind of cool. But all the little puppet people, like even the puppet dude climbing up the pole in that one shot when you first see
Yeah.
the telephone guy,
Yeah.
like a lot of I like all that sort of stop motion people interacting with the stop motion creatures. Yeah, they finally hit him under the soft spot, take him out. All the tanks just unload everything they have into the Scorpion, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's great.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in more of these American sort of B monster movies.
Yeah.
I don't think any of them have really let us down. I think there was like Monster Challenges World was kind of, there was still fun stuff in it and weird stuff in it. And like Them, of course, is awesome. But I don't think we really run across one that I was like, oh, I'd never watch that again.
No, totally not.
Cool. So highly recommended. I don't think it's a top five. But I mean, just the whole like Willis O'Brien stuff is,
Yeah, it's worth there to see the work. And if you're a King Kong fan, to kind of see a couple of the monsters that didn't make it into King Kong.
You want to get into next week's episode?
Yeah, because like 20 years later, they were just sitting there in some guy's studio waiting to be used.
That's got to be why it took.
I gotta send you the picture of the people, the two guys that look so much alike that I was like, is that the same guy twice?
Yeah, send that to me. I'll put it in the show art. I put that in the show art, and I put that scorpion holding up that dude. For sure. All right, man. You want to talk about the next episode?
Sure.
Let me see if I get. I need to get the full title of this thing. All right. Our next episode will be Monster X Strikes Back, Attack the G8 Summit from 2008. I'm hoping I can get this on kaijupod.com. It might be tough to get it up there. We'll see about it. I might. So if you could track it down, make sure you watch that before our next episode. So keep an eye. Kaijupod.com. It'll also give you links to our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. So hopefully we'll have that up for you. That'll be in a couple weeks. So look forward to that conversation. Because I know, yeah. I know I am. Yeah. Shit. You know, you think I would watch the movies, because we've been doing this for almost 3 years now. Or we're coming up on our 3. You think that I would be watching the movies and be like, you know what?
For the to anticipate your till next time?
Yeah. So I would like, oh, that's kind of a funny little thing. No, never once have I ever thought to just drop in a note where I would say, until next time.
Say this.
Yeah.
I think I've dropped a note a couple times.
Oh, have you?
A couple times. Or like what will happen is someone's like when we go through it, there'll be like a note that we, I sit and I go, all right, that's, you know, like, you know, I don't say everything. I don't read every note that I took. It's because I just kind of like keep with the flow of the conversation. And then I'll just kind of end up using one of those little detail bits. Mm-hmm. But
I might actually do one that will be true. Like this may actually happen before the next episode airs. So until next time, I'm going to go eat some beans and a tortilla.
Oh, I'm definitely going to do that before the next episode.
Yeah, airs. Probably.
Like, I think tonight even.
Oh, really?
Cool. Yeah. Sounds good. It's like we're getting ready to leave and we have all these things, you know, when you're like, all right, we got to eat stuff out of the fridge.
Oh, yeah.
But until next time, I'm just going to just keep passing babies over this fence.
Oh, well, the worst kind of rattlesnake.